Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your patience in holding. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of our speaker's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. Instructions will be given at that time on the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn this conference to Enrique Pereira. You may begin.
Good day to everyone, and thank you for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team, who will review the results of Gentera for the third quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. With us today are Mr. Enrique Marcos, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, who will present a detailed analysis of the recent dynamics. Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, who will actively participate during the Q&A section of this conference call. And Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer, who will review the financial results of the company. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Mayos for his presentation. Enrique, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning here in America, and good afternoon for those attending from Europe. As always, we appreciate your time and interest in our conference call. Let me start by pointing out the main topics I would like to address to you today in the today's conference call. In the first place, I will talk about a wider context and Gentera's business performance during the present year. Secondly, I will share with you our analysis of the situation and challenges that we are facing today. Finally, I will tell you about the action plan we have put in place to address the present challenges and our vision for Gentera to continue being a strong partner to our clients, shareholders, creditors, and to all our stakeholders. Let me start by giving some context and talk about our latest performance and results. As we have always communicated, our goal is to empower, through financial inclusion, millions of people who belong to the underserved segments of this population through personalized and digital financial solutions that create share value. Some years ago, we started as a major transformation of our strategy, moving from only offering credit products to 1 million clients in Mexico, to offer a diverse portfolio of financial products and services to our 3.7 million clients in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala. As you know, in the past 10 years, Gentera has invested in geographical expansion, strategic acquisitions, a new core banking system, and product development to reach our goals. To better serve the needs of our clients, we have expanded our offering to include remittances, insurance, means of payments, and saving accounts. This major transformation has brought both substantial achievements as well as some important challenges. Being more specific in our third quarter 2017 results, we had a 2% contraction of the Gentera's total loan portfolio, mainly due to a 7.8% reduction in Mexican loan portfolio. At the same time, we are also able to show a 5% loan portfolio growth in Guatemala and an important 18.4% growth in Peru. Our savings mobilization strategy continues to have successful results. The savings products in Mexico is a key element in our effort of building a stronger relationship with our customers and an important differentiator versus other players. In line with our plan, deposits from clients stood at 1.4 billion pesos, which were generated from the term investment products and by over 1.3 million debit accounts. Yastás recorded 1.9 million financial transactions during the quarter, a year-on-year 42% increase. Aterna ended the quarter with close to 5 million active life insurance policies in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala. Intermex, our remittances company, with more than 2,000 affiliates, transacted more than 5.7 billion pesos in remittances during the quarter. Because of the portfolio reduction in Mexico, which represents 70% of our total Gentera's portfolio, the third quarter 2017 proved to be a particular challenging one for Gentera. These results will make us not reach our published 2017 guidance. This is the first time ever that we will not meet our guidance because of business operational reasons. We take this situation very seriously, and we want to be very clear that we have already started actions to address it. Let me start by sharing with you our analysis of the challenges we face. Today, our main challenge is client retention with respect to our credit products in Mexico. We know that this situation is not a consequence of a reduction in the demand from clients. As we explained in the last quarter's calls, we put strong emphasis in the quality of our portfolio given the increasing competitive environment in Mexico. Overall, this effort produced satisfactory results, with the exception of Crédito Comerciante product, which is hurting our provision lines. Our strong emphasis on portfolio quality, however, also impacted our growth. We have also been too concentrated on productivity and operational efficiency, which negatively impacted our clients' experience and our value proposition to them. This is unacceptable, and we are in the process of fixing it. Now, let me tell you about our action plan. Together with my top management team, we have spent most of the past weeks developing a plan to address the challenges we face. This plan not only addresses the short-term results, but also simplifies and focuses on Gentera 50, which, as you know, contains our strategic and transformation plan for the following years. In the short term, we will fix those decisions that have negatively impacted our customers' experience. These changes include reducing processes that have come too bureaucratic, policies that many local offices put in place to stimulate growth that are not popular with clients and that may actually be counterproductive. We will also allow more flexibility in the clients to pay in other their loans in different deposit channels. We will get back to some elements of our traditional way of operating by giving our groups more control over their own members and operations. This will take us the rest of 2017 and probably the first months of 2018 due to the average tenor of our group lending product, which, as you know, is between 4 and 5 months. Our main objectives will be, first, to simplify products and processes for our clients and our sales force. Second, to return to high levels of client service quality. And third, to maintain the quality of our portfolio. Since our focus for the following months will be to implement the previous 3 points, we expect that during 2018, we will maintain the same level of clients and portfolio to those we will achieve at the end of this year. After having been the CEO of Banco Compartamos for 3 years, I spent the last 2 years as the CEO of FinLab, Gentera Financial Inclusion Innovation Lab. My experience at FinLab gave me the opportunity to be in close contact with the new world of fintech, its entrepreneurs, and all the new possibilities to better serve the client through technology and at the same time do it much more efficiently. So during 2018, I will leverage this experience and will start to implement improvements in the way we manage our relationships with clients. We know that technology and digital platforms will strongly improve the customer's experience. And in 2018, we will test and confirm those changes that will bring our customer a better experience and provide Gentera with efficiencies. At the same time, we will retain our traditional competitive advantage, which is our personal relationship with clients. Mergers and acquisitions will also be part of our plans for the future. And even if we don't have a specific target to communicate today, we keep working on identifying opportunities. We are confident that we will successfully implement our action plan for 2018, which will establish the foundation for our new era of growth and expansion that we'll start to see in 2019. We have a strong and talented management team that has always supported Gentera's successful story. As we communicated in the past weeks, Gentera has established organizational changes in its management structure. Joining me today is Patricio Diez de Bonilla as the new CEO of Banco Compartamos. You know perfectly well Patricio, since he has been Gentera's CFO for 9 years. He and I have worked very closely over this period, and he profoundly understands the business, and I feel fully confident that he is the best person to assume the helm of our largest subsidiary during this exciting new journey. Congratulations to Patricio. The other important player in our management team is, as you already know him, Mario Langarica. In addition to Mario's more than 20 years of experience in the financial sector, he has been part of Patricio's team since he arrived to Gentera almost 1 year ago, and he has had an outstanding performance. I welcome Mario as the new CFO of Gentera, and I'm very positive of Mario's ability to replace Patricio's in his former role. Congratulations to Mario as well. The main purpose of my new role as CEO of Gentera is to define with my top management team the growth strategy and transformation agenda of Gentera for the following years. I will also want to share with you my top 4 priorities as CEO of Gentera. In the first place, I will work to lead a team with high performance standards and strong customer service orientation. Secondly, I will reinforce our customer orientation, understanding that placing top priority on providing value to our clients is the best and only way to sustainably capture value for all of our other stakeholders. As a third priority, I will improve performance and optimize our cost structure. Fourth, we will work to develop Gentera's digital capacities, understanding that technology and digital tools are essential to achieve a profound and balanced transformation, meaning that we will not lose our closeness to customers, which will always be our main differentiator. New business models and digital platforms to allow Gentera to provide solutions in more convenient ways. Some examples of our commitment with the FinTech community is the work that we have been performing through FinLab, our Financial Inclusion Innovation Lab. As you already know, we have recently invested in different FinTech startups such as Avante in Brazil, Aflora in Colombia, and ePesos in Mexico, to mention only one, only some. We will continue to be very active in the fintech arena, testing pilots and prototypes with the purpose of improving our products and services. As I promised, I took you through three main themes. One, the context and Gentera's business performance in the present year. Two, our analysis of the situation and challenges we are facing today. And three, our action plan to resume growth and positive results at Gentera, while remaining as a strong partner to our clients. It is important also to mention that regarding the recently and unfortunate earthquakes that took place in Mexico, our operations in the regions affected have been almost fully normalized. We feel relieved to report that we didn't suffer any loss of life of members of our staff or clients. Since the beginning of the emergency, we implemented our risk control and crisis management plan. Despite the magnitude of the tragedy, we don't expect a major impact in our portfolio, and we are about to measure the impact in provisions in the fourth quarter of this year. As in all natural disasters, we remain fully committed with the affected communities in working towards the economic recovery. Our foundation will also work along with other institutions in the rebuilding of those communities. To conclude my remarks, let me point out that we maintain our commitment to achieve our aspiration of empowering 10 million people by 2025. With a clear purpose of improving their lives through personalized and digital financial solutions. This goal will be achieved with the commitment and effort of our more than 21,000 employees, with our stakeholders, and all the people that have trusted and currently believe in Gentera. Thank you all for your support. And now I will turn the call to Mario Langarica, our new CFO of Gentera, to review the financial results. Afterwards, Patricio Diaz de Bonilla, Mario, and myself will be glad to take your questions. Thank you for your attention, and please, Mario, go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. In this third quarter, interest income stood at 5.3 billion pesos, representing a 1.5 increase when compared with the same period of 2016. Mainly driven by the repricing initiative in Banco Compartamos credit products that started in February this year. Interest expense grew 24% on a year-on-year comparison. Following the recent increases on the Mexican reference interest rate, we took actions using a funding combination of fixed and floating instruments and two, growing our deposit base. In Peru, besides the reduction of the reference rate, our subsidiary has improved its credit and funding terms and conditions. For example, on October 17, 2017, Compartamos Financiera issued 70 million soles in the Peruvian debt market. This is our fifth issuance in this market, and as of today, the most successful in terms of interest rate and demand. The tenor of this issuance is 1 year, with an interest rate of 4.92% and was oversubscribed 3.1 times. Our Guatemala operation currently funds its portfolio entirely with capital. Therefore, Gentera's cost of funding stood at 6.9%. Net interest income presented a slight growth at 0.1% on a year-on-year comparison, and NIM stood at 55.1, representing an improvement compared to 54% in second quarter 2017. As we have signaled in different conference calls, as the portfolio mix changes, more provisions for loan losses will be required due to the higher provisioning demanded by the new products. For this third quarter, and given the current dynamics experienced in the loan portfolio provisions, in the loan portfolio, provisions grew by 1.7% in this period compared to 3Q16. Thus, net interest margin after provisions for the quarter stood at 45.5%, an improvement compared to the last two quarters. The cost of risk for the year is expected to be around 11.5%. Fee expenses contracted 44% due to the continued transfer of our operations to proprietary network versus third-party infrastructure. 80% of the credits granted by Banco Compartamos are now disbursed in Gentera's channels. Net fee income increased 32% compared to 3Q16. As you can see, this consolidated line continues growing faster than the portfolio due to the sale of insurance products, fees generated in Yastas, in our remittance business, in Compartamos Financiera, as well as for penalty fees charged to clients with delinquent accounts. Fee income represented 6.5% of total income for the group in 3Q17. Operating expenses grew by 16.1% in this quarter compared to 3Q16. Considering the nine-month period of 2017 versus the same period last year, OPEX line grew 13.2%. This can be explained by the opening of the new service office and the transformation of service office into bank branches, which aggregated represent a network of 888 points at the end of 3Q17 compared to 799 in 3Q16. We also made investments in IT, loyalty programs, and other strategic initiatives. In the loyalty program, we invested 142 million pesos during the third quarter in 2017, and that during the year we have invested 366 million pesos. Due to the performance of the loan portfolio during 2017, interest income generation has been impacted. Therefore, the efficiency ratio for the quarter has deteriorated to 74.5% compared to 68.2% 1 year ago. We expect to see similar figures in the efficiency ratio for the rest of the year. For the nine-month period of this year, Gentera reported net income of 2,562 million, which represented a 10.7% contraction compared to the pesos 2,870 million reached in the same period last year. In terms of profitability, the return on average equity and the return on average assets stood at 18.2% and 7.3% respectively for the quarter. For the nine-month period, these returns represented 20.6% return on equity and 8.3% return on assets. Also worth highlighting is that in accordance with the dividend approved on April 20, 2017, at Gentera's annual shareholder meeting, the second and final payment equivalent to 38 cents per share will be paid on December 1, 2017. As Enrique already signaled, this year is becoming one of the most challenging years in Gentera's history, making us believe that the guidance provided won't be reached and that profitability metrics will fall behind the levels that we were used to see in the past. However, we are certain that if we make the right decisions now, we will be able to return to better levels in the future, and with that, reinforce our commitment with our different stakeholders, clients, the community, our employees, our shareholders, and the society, with our very clear objective to generate shared value. Thank you for your attention. Operator, could we move on to the Q&A session, please?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our first question will come from Ernesto Gabilondo, Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario, and thanks for taking my call. After the third quarter results, are you planning to change your loan and net income guidance? Also, regarding your guidance, the efficiency ratio has been in the mid-70s, while you have guided mid-60s. So are you planning to change that target? Also, where are you seeing the inflection point after implementing the new strategies? For my second question is related to competition. I will appreciate any color on how are you seeing the competition in group loans. I don't know if this is coming from peer-to-peer lending or from new companies with new algorithms willing to accept high NPLs. Also, I don't know if this is coming in individual loans from specialized retail banks such as Coppel, Azteca, or FAMSA. Any color on your new strategies to face competition in each of your products will be much appreciated. And finally, I would like to know where do you see now the sustainable ROE of Gentera? And given that you have a strong Tier 1 ratio, what are your plans in terms of acquisitions or to distribute a special dividend? Thank you.
And thank you, Ernesto. This is Patricio. In terms of guidance, as Enrique said during his presentation, due to the dynamic that we saw this third quarter, we do see a possibility of a contraction in not only the portfolio but also the net income for the year. As you know, the fourth quarter of every year it's proactive, but we finalized the third quarter with the impact of the earthquakes in Mexico that will make ourselves focus on asset quality, because a little spike in provisioning could be affecting the short-term results for the year. So yes, I mean, as Enrique said, we see a contraction not only in portfolio but also of net income for the year, which will be below the flat guidance that we guided for this 2017. In terms of the inflection point, I would say that the actions that we are taking in these coming months will make us have a solid ground for during the next couple of quarters to have a better grip of our own operations, not only in Mexico but Guatemala and Peru, and we expect by later next year to have better trends in terms not only customer acquisition, retention, but also customer satisfaction. And that was your first question, right? The second question you asked about competition. Again, and we've talked about competition a lot during the years. Competition has flourished. We have a lot of competitors, regional competitors, per state, per region, and again, we compete face to face with them. But again, as we said last quarter, competition today, the smaller players are facing difficulties because of a lack of funding, asset quality, so they are less efficient than us in many instances. So we do see the competitive dynamics will be persistent going forward. But as we've mentioned in the past, we really think that there will be a consolidation process in which large, well-established, well-run, regulated banks are the ones that will prevail, and we think that us are one of the ones that will succeed in the years to come.
In terms of you were talking, your third quarter was about return on equity. Of course, I mean, we've guided in the past mid-20s return on equity. Going forward, of course, we have some short-term, pressures because of the trends that you saw this year and will be persistent for the coming quarters. But thinking about the long-term strategy of the group, we do think that we can still have a profitable institution, and this will be a combination of a more efficient balance sheet. As you pointed out, we have a strong capitalization ratio that will be used for organic growth, for acquisitions, and finally to increase or to return through dividends, buybacks, and so forth, their capital to our investors. So yes, talking about return on equity, something around 20% could be sustainable for the long run, and as I said, will be a combination of profitability as well as increased leverage in our portfolio.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Carlos Rivera, Citi.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Congratulations to Patricio and Mario on their new appointments. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is just trying to understand a little bit better the strategy to move forward. I know you mentioned some of the challenges of the product, like people demanding more flexibility, reducing some processes that are currently bureaucratic. But what has changed? I mean, I think in the past we've seen some of these thoughts being there, flexibilizing the Crédito Mujer, people probably demanding less frequent visits. So if you could just give us some more concrete examples of exactly what's changing in the product that probably needed a more dramatic resolution at this stance. And I'll ask my second question after. Thank you.
Sure, Carlos. Thank you. This is Enrique Majos. Well, to make the answer very easy, what I can tell you is that at the end, it has to do with customer service and being close to the customer. What we have done in the last month, because we were working towards efficiencies and productivity, is that we went a little bit far from the customer in terms of the service and the demands they have in a day-to-day basis. So that could be the main reason or the way I would explain it. And I can also tell you that this was not only because we were looking for more efficiencies, but because also we have been increasing the number of products and services that our loan officers are providing to the customer. So now that we are offering, for example, saving accounts, many of the, not most of the time, but part of the time that the loan officer is using for serving the group and the client, it's also he's also spending some time to open the saving account and to answer all the questions and the problems that they might have in the process of the saving account. So if you add savings accounts, insurance accounts, the traditional loan, the loan officer has more things to do in the same period of time, and that has diminished our ability to serve with a better quality.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Carlos Macedo, Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking questions. Maybe going on in the same line that you've been asking other questions before. For one thing you haven't mentioned is the target market. In the past, you've expanded into the individual methodology in order to have a broader target market. Do you think there are any issues with saturation there? It's a question that some in the past that maybe you reached out to everyone you have, you could, and now further growth is just going to be more expensive to come by, given that, let's say that the lower hanging fruit are already within your system. Second question, just following up again, the question from Carlos, is do you see 2018 as a transition year? I mean, Patricia, you spoke, and Melissa, you spoke about, repositioning, trying to grow, and talked a lot about 2019 as being the year where the cycle picks up. Would 2018 then be a transition year where you would be implementing all these policies without significant expectation of a big upswing in growth and all that? Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. In terms of target market, as you know, this is not only exclusive to Mexico. Financial inclusion is something that is needed in the region. Now, the private loan to GDP ratio is still very low if you compare that with every OECD member. So there's not necessarily a saturation in terms of demand for credit. As we mentioned in the past, the customers are becoming more financially savvy. They have different financial needs, not only on the credit side. They do require working capital loans, but they do require some other credit products, such as consumer loans, such as auto loans, mortgages, consumer loans, and so forth. So it's the reality going forward. There's not really a saturation in the market. We do see that there's a large market opportunity as well, not only in Mexico, but Peru and Guatemala. However, how you tackle and how you define your products, how you define your service, it's more relevant today rather than something that it's a reflection of demand for credit or financial products. So the market, just to be very clear, the market, it's there. There's a lot of competition, as I previously mentioned, but the reality is that Gentera, with the capabilities that we have, it's well positioned to evolve, and that will jump me to your second question. That 2018, yes, it could be a transition year. It's a highly volatile environment in Mexico, and as Enrique said before, we've been through a very profound transformation process, and this is needed because there's a segment of the population that require different products and services. So we operate the business with a very long-term focus, and we want to give very solid steps towards to fulfill our mission. So yes, it could be all what we've done in the last couple of months, and that we'll continue to do in the coming quarters, will allow us to have solid grounds in terms of or a better grip in our operation to have better trends and results for the late 2018. So yes, it could be a transitional year in which we need to consolidate not only the product offering, but most importantly, customer satisfaction to be an appealing offering for the end user.
Yeah, and just adding to that, I can tell you that I see 2018 like with two lines of action. First of all, I would define it, as you said, Carlos, as a transition year. But a second way to see it is a transformation year. That is what Patricio was explaining now. So in terms of transition, I can define it because we are fixing processes and policies to better achieve our clients and to better to provide them a better quality of service. And those are more like short-term actions. But on the other hand, we have the transformation process, which are digital technology implementations, and which means more profound improvements for our business model.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Yuri Fernandez, JP Morgan.
Thank you for the opportunity, guys. I have one question on your expenses line. We know it has been under pressure because you are opening branches, changing the strategy. But can you provide more color here on, first, your target for opening branches that I guess is 280 by the end of the year, if you want to continue this in 2018, and how you expect this line to keep growing? And given the weakness on the top line, if you have, like, a, I don't know, a revised soft guidance for efficiency ratio, because perhaps 70% ratio would be too low now that you are having those top line pressures. And I make my second question after that.
Thank you, Yuri. And in terms of expenses, I mean, we've been very, very diligent in how we spend money in the company, how we invest the funds that we have available. Again, during this transformation, building a company really from scratch has made us grow the expense line faster in the last years. No, building the network, as you said, we'll finalize this year with 280 branches, and next year the expenses for those 280 branches will be present for the entire year. So that will put pressure again in the expense line item, because you are not necessarily comparing the same company in both years. So again, after the, as we said, this 2018 would be more so of a consolidation in the model. So we don't expect opening new branches, at least in Mexico. We will consolidate the infrastructure that we already have. But again, simply because of the reason that we'll have those branches for the entire year, that will put pressure in the expense line item for 2018. In the other expenses that we have, most of what we spend money on, it's labor. As you know, the business model requires us not only to be able to attract, select, and retain loan officers, we need to have motivated and well-trained people in front of our customers. So that also represents a big chunk of what we need money for. And so again, the efficiency ratio today, it's above the ratio that we guided, not necessarily because we haven't been efficient on the expenses, because we are having a contraction in the loan portfolio because of the reasons that we said before. So sustainable 2019 going forward, we do expect to have this efficiency ratio below the 70% that we've been working on for the last years.
No, super clear, super helpful. I will just come back to the top line because I think it's too important. I guess you comment that for 2018, the goal is to keep the same number of clients as you have, like, in the end of 2017. And probably, I don't know, the trend will continue to point to some decline. Is that correct? And if it's correct, do you have any expectation of loan growth for the next year, given the lower, I don't know, client base you should have?
Now, as I said before, the focus for the coming quarters, I would say the next 3-4 quarters, it's to go back to basics, to be focused on customer satisfaction. Of course, growth is important. However, not necessarily if we are not treating or serving the customer needs well. So the focus for the next year will be to, as I said, to train, retain personnel to give better service to our customer base, and that should reflect in growth for the year end. But again, and the focus for next year, as I said, it's to transition the model. To have a better grip in our operation rather than something else.
Okay, no, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Tito Lombardo, Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions also, I guess following up in terms of the growth outlook a bit. I mean, is it fair to say that in your core products, it will be difficult to return to the growth that we saw in the past in the mid-teens? And that, you know, Patricio, I think you mentioned some different products there, consumer loans, mortgages, auto loans, that you would need to grow in some of these other products to get back to that mid-teens type of growth? Will you be able to do that organically? Or you've talked about acquisitions, so would you buy these types of products through some other companies? So is that kind of what will be required in order to get back to that type of growth? And I guess on the flip side of the acquisitions and there's mergers, and you talked about consolidation in the industry. I mean, would you consider partnering up with a larger bank where, you know, they would then, you know, maybe provide some expertise? Is that something that could be considered? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tito. This is Patricio. As we've said in the past, the reality is that organic growth should be complemented with acquisitions. The rationale of our M&A efforts have to do how can we have a stronger footprint in the countries in which we operate, most importantly Mexico and Peru, right? So again, it's the companies that we've evaluated so far. Not only bring to the company new methodologies on how we deploy credit to this low income segment, but also some other capabilities. No, as I said before, we really need different products and services under our belt, not only on the credit side, but insurance, but savings, and those are the kind of initiatives or potential targets that we see in the coming quarters to be acquired. Of course, as you know, the M&A processes take long. There's a lot of negotiation going on as we speak. But again, it's how we can complement organic growth with some other capabilities that we might have To be acquired in different companies that serve the low-income segment in Mexico and Peru.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Eduardo Rossman, BTG.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I have two questions. The first one, I think that you explained pretty well, you know, what is going on and what you are doing to change, you know, and to go back to basics, you know. But I just wanted to understand what was the trigger for that, right? Because you have been kind of cautious towards asset quality and consequently growing your portfolio since last year. But like last quarter, you were still cautious, but the guidance, the new guidance kind of indicated, you know, that the turning point was close, right? And now you are more cautious again, you know, with regards to this turning point. So I just wanted to understand what was the trigger or the event that made you, you know, more cautious about that? Is it like asset quality was like negative feedback for loan officers and clients, you know? So just wanted to get a little bit more color here, right? This is my first question. And my second question is on NIM, right? You've been repricing your portfolio, right? You suffered a little bit from the higher reference rate in Mexico, which kind of doubled, you know, from the recent lows, and now you've been repricing, so your NIM has been improving. So what should we expect, you know, in the coming quarters or in 2018? Should we expect that there's still more room to grow NIMs? So if you could add more color here as well, it would be helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Eduardo. This is Enrique. Very interesting, your question about the trigger. And I think that, as I pointed out in my speech, one of the first signals that we saw was that our retention rate was going down. And as I explained before, when we started looking at this, we found that due to the lack of time that our loan officers were spending with our customers, the quality of the service was going down. So what our customers are saying now is that they want the loan officer to be closer to help them managing the group and managing all the dynamics of the group lending methodology. So, and once we have this lack of service, and this in addition to the other products we are providing, is now triggering us to review the way we are going to build the service model and the management model to keep on serving our customers as we have been doing it always, that is very closely, that is really trying to solve fast their needs. And so that's why we are on this journey of going through our processes and make them more efficient and more simple for our customers, even if for us, we have to make some changes, but at the end, what we need to see is that for the customer, the process is simpler. So this is, from my point of view, the trigger that took us to the point we are on today.
Regarding NIM, we expect to have levels of around 54% by the end of the year, and after provisions, around 43%. And for 2019, we expect stable levels.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Claudia Enelante, Santander.
Hi. I was wondering if you can give us further color on the strategy changes, particularly regarding how can we understand the stronger flexibility. Could it be, for instance, that you are going to probably separate the good payers within a group? So we could expect, for instance, a shift in mix in loans, for instance, towards more to individual lending? Or are you increasing the number of loan officers? Or are you going to find a way to give lending to new customers at a faster pace, which I understand is a key differentiator of current competitors? I'm not saying that they are doing something better. Probably their asset quality is going to deteriorate at a faster pace. However, I understand that has created an important push to your operating results. Any further color would be appreciated. Thank you.
Sure, Claudia. Thank you. Let me tell you, maybe flexibility, we understand it with two main elements. First of all, I think that we took out flexibility from our customers in the past months because we were requiring from them some things that we didn't require in the past. So maybe asking for more members in the group or to putting more requirements to renew the loan if they needed a higher amount. So those were the kind of things that we put in place and that took away flexibility from the customer. And the reason we did that was because we wanted to have a better control of our portfolio and the NPLs. But we believe that we have to bring back to the customers that flexibility, which has been always been there in the past. So, and the other part or element in flexibility has to do with the digital tools that we can apply, and I agree with you. This is some of the things that not only Gentera and Compartamos, but many other players in the market are putting in place to provide customers more flexibility. I think that digital transformation and digital technology, it will allow us to give much more flexibility to customers, even if we compare it with the traditional group lending methodology.
And thank you. And maybe one more question. I was wondering about the effective tax rate. It reached close to 30% when in Mexico it was of only 21%. So I understand inflation should have translated into a tax benefit. So what pushed the total group's tax rate to a higher level? Thank you.
In terms of tax rate, Claudia, as you know, the group has different companies, the service company, the bank, and so forth. At the service company, we had some restructuring charges because we laid off some personnel, and that impacted also the tax rate. So again, the group's tax rate that we've guided, it's around 22%, 21-22%. So for the entire year, should be around that level. 32, sorry.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Marcelo Teles, Credit Suisse.
Hi, hello, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for your time. You know, most of my questions have been answered, but I want to just touch base with you on the decline of your client base in Mexico, right? It's been down about 9% year over year. And I was wondering if you could, you know, elaborate a little bit more on that. If this, you know, are you losing, you know, clients to your competitors or in the micro lending segment, or you think there is this is also a trend for the micro lending segment in Mexico in general? Perhaps, you know, some of these people moving towards like some consumer lending products or becoming, you know, part of the real bank customers. And so that would be my question. And the second question is, how do you see the potential competitive pressure coming from the banks? As you know, Santander, for instance, you know, launched Tuyu. Do you think that there's a risk that you could actually become a facilitator, you know, for new competitors or for the banks who need to tap the market? Because once, you know, the client, a client becomes a Compartamos client, that client becomes bankerized, right? You have all the information in the credit bureau, so it kind of opens, you know, a little bit more, you know, to competition from banks, which can see, you know, what sort of credit they have, the payment history. So how do you see, you know, the barriers to entry for the big commercial banks in your market segment? Thank you.
Thank you, Marcelo. In terms of clients, let me point out firstly that the spike in NPL that we saw since the fourth quarter of 2016 has made us write off a lot of customers that were delinquent, and then after 180 days we've written off those not only credits but also customers. So first is the origination processes that we had last in the fourth quarter and during 2016 had an impact in the 2017 customer growth figures. Secondly, as Enrique said before, we relaxed customer service because of a lot of pressure that we put in our loan officers. So customers were not as well served as they should be, and the retention that we had in the first 6 months of the first nine months of this year hasn't been where we expect to have. So it's a combination of lower retention from existing customers and as well as customer write-offs that we had during this 2017. In terms of how we see competition, and this is something fundamental that we talked about it since the IPO, we really think that in order to generate a full financial inclusion, you need to build an industry that is regulated, that is transparent, efficient, with good products. And today the reality is that most of our competitors are on the informal side. Most of them do not, and some of them do not report to the credit bureaus. So again, the efforts that large bank or consumer or retail banks have made into enter this segment, it's welcomed by us. Of course, the focus that we need to have has to be on customer satisfaction, in develop good products and services to keep customers with us for longer period of time. And this is why the strategy of a multi-product strategy really becomes more relevant. Once you have a relationship with Marcelo that starts with savings, then insurance, then credit, you have a better strength or a stronger relationship with each individual. And this is what we aim going forward. So this is why we see 2018 as a transition into that consolidation of the business model, because we know that not only large banks, you mentioned Santander and some others, but the reality is going forward, we really think that there will be more offering, well-established institutions that will compete face-to-face, and how we can make us relevant to the end user, it's with service and good product development.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Carlos Gomez, HSBC.
Hello, good morning. I had a question going back to what concrete measures you took and you are going to take. I mean, you mentioned that your officers were overworked. Were they selling too many products? Were they being forced to use your branches as opposed to using the banks? And how is it going to change going forward? You are going to force them to sell less products. You are going to hire more officers. What type of measures? And I imagine that would have an effect on cost. I mean, you were doing those things for a reason, asset quality and cost. So should we expect perhaps some relaxation in asset quality and perhaps some relaxation in costs? Thank you.
And let me talk about the clear measures that we are taking in Mexico, where we have really the issues. First of all, we said the capacity that our loan officers have, it's exceeded. So we try to make it simpler, the product offering for them to have access time to be close to the customers. So in case there are some markets in which we do not have full staff, we'll have a better coverage of loan officers to better serve the customer base. Secondly, we need to be focused on training, you know, because of the churn of loan officers and the high demand of different products. And the reality is that we have had less time in the training processes for our loan officers. So we need to strengthen the training process to focus on not only on the values of the company, the products of the company, in how to collect money. So training, it's a thorough process that need to be reshaped. As Enrique said, how can we make the products and processes simpler? That's also something that we are taking off hurdles to open their saving accounts or their credit. So we are trying to make the offer much simpler so that the relationship with the customer is faster and not so much of a hassle. Second, another point is how can we collect the money after the 30th day? We are not being more efficient, very efficient in how we get money back from delinquent customers. So we are going with our collection managers as well as the loan officers to be on top of the delinquent customers beforehand, not after the 60th day. Now we are pulling back the collection process from the week, from the first week until the 30th day. So as I said, and finally, there's the focus, for example, in asset quality. It's concentrated in Mexico in Crédito Comerciante, and most of these delinquent customers are concentrated in 20% of our branches. So there will be like a task collection team that will be focused on those branches to really allow the not only the collection process, but most importantly, the origination process to be well defined in order to avoid future delinquent problems or NPL problems for the coming year. So as you can see, there are specific actions that my team are embedded in, and that will be focused on for the coming two quarters. And as I said, we expect some that these actions will give us a solid ground to start the second half of 2018 with a better grip of our own operations.
Thank you, Patricio. But if I can push back a little bit, so the initiatives that you mentioned, more officers, more training, more collection, all of that sounds like more expensive. You have, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you probably have to spend more to provide these services. Also, simplifying the product, that means less cross-selling. I mean, going back perhaps to how you were two or three years ago rather than how you have become, is that what we should read into what you're saying?
And, I mean, Carlos, to be very clear, we're focused on the long-term strategy of the group. In order to be a sustainable, well-run institution, you need to have good customer satisfaction, you need to have good products, and you need to get those products through a motivated sales reps. So if that will have short-term impact in the short-term results, we are willing to take that hurdle in order to have a better control of our operation, thinking in the long-term sustainability of the business.
And just, Carlos, to clarify a couple of points there, you mentioned that we might have less cross-selling and that we might be going back to the old model. And I can tell you that those two statements are not true. I think that cross-selling, what we are doing in the processes to improve them, to allow the product, the loan officers to offer all the product offers that we have. So cross-selling will maintain its dynamic, and I believe we have a very good dynamic, especially in insurances and in savings in the last months. And on the other hand, that's why it is so important for us the digital transformation and the new models. One thing that we have been learning and we have been benefiting, not only from the fintech world, but also from our competitors, is that digital tools and digital transformation is a new way of doing things. So I believe that if we go that way, we don't have to reduce our capacity of cross-selling, and we are not thinking about going to the old model, but to an evolved model of a new way of serving our customers.
Thank you very much. Our last question will come from Enrique Mendoza, Actinver.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. A follow-up regarding specific examples of current challenges. Your company is certainly admired for being honest and your top-of-the-line transparency when facing difficulties. As other analysts have pointed out, in the Gentera's past, there have been a lot of periods with higher delinquencies and tougher competition environment. However, in this moment, we have seen a much stronger increase in provisions than what delinquencies have increased. While I acknowledge the changes in methodology that you have underwent, beyond any changes in methodology, it seems that the expected losses jumped significantly. Could you elaborate in the behavior or attitude of group acquaintances that otherwise might be willing to pay once someone at the group defaults, or at what extent the sharp increase in cost of risk can only be related with methodology changes?
Okay, and let me try to answer this question. In terms of provisioning, as you said, we have now different products in our portfolio, Crédito Mujer, Comerciante, Individual Lending, and such products have different provisioning levels. On top of that, the CNBV have required us to have larger provisioning, not only to us, but to consumer lenders in Mexico. So we have a larger provisioning burden in terms of regulatory rules that the CNBV imposed this year. So yes, the portfolio is riskier because the newer products have higher provisioning levels, and on top of that, the CNBV have required banks to have larger provisioning for this type of product. So all those things together have made us have larger provisioning in our margins to be spent. Again, not only in Mexico, but when you consolidate figures, it's something that also affects the consolidation of Peruvian and Guatemalan operations.
Thank you very much. At this time, we have no further questions in the queue, so I would like to turn the conference back over to Enrique Majos for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you all. I just want to point out that Gentera is and will always be committed with his clients and with our financial inclusion purpose, so as well as with all our stakeholders, of course. So I believe that the main message that I would like to let you today is that we are fully committed with the situation we are living, and we are very excited about the opportunities of the market and the transformation that we are facing. We are very confident that we know what's happening, and we're very confident that we have an action plan to address the situation. So thank you all for attending this call, and good morning and good afternoon to everyone.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this conference has now concluded. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.